As we come to Psalm 124, we remember that there are 15 psalms that have in their title this phrase, a song of ascents. And each one of these 15 psalms are in a group stretching from Psalm 120 all the way through to Psalm 134. These are psalms that, to the best of our understanding, were songs sung by the people of God as they journeyed on the way to Jerusalem for the feasts, perhaps some of them at Jerusalem for the feasts. And there's one that seems to be a psalm that they might sing at the conclusion of the feast when they were ready to return home. So these are songs of ascents, of ascending up to Jerusalem, that, again, these pilgrims would sing together, that they would recite together, that they would enjoy together. Now, of these 15 song of ascents, four of them are attributed to David, and Psalm 124 is one of those four. It mentions here that the pilgrims gathered in Jerusalem gave thanks, and here we see David leading Israel in this thanksgiving to God, both for past help and to express confidence in God's continuing help. I find it interesting when I do my background study for a psalm like Psalm 124 that there are several commentators that connect this psalm not with the time of David, but for actually a time several hundred years after the time of David when the exiles returned from Babylon. James Montgomery Boyce answered this idea well, I believe. He said, quote, "The expressions of this psalm, such as when men attacked us and swept us away and we escaped like a bird," James Boyce said that these sound more like a military attack and deliverance than it does deliverance from captivity, such as the Babylonian captivity. Boyce added, "It is best to keep the connection with David, considering it an earnest plea for Israel to thank God for deliverance, past and present." So I do think that this is a psalm connected with David and his days, even though certainly it had some application to the return to exile and sort of the idea that God was working in and the attitude that God was working among Israel in the return from exile. But it is best to consider it as connected to David. Horatius Bonar, a great Christian of centuries past, he gave an interesting comment about Psalm 124 that I'll read this before we get into the verse-by-verse exposition. This is what Bonar wrote. He said, "In the year 1582, this psalm was sung on a remarkable occasion in Edinburgh, Scotland. An imprisoned minister, John Dury, had been set free, and he was met and welcomed on entering the town by 200 of his friends. The number increased till he found himself in the midst of a company of 2,000 who began to sing as they moved up the long high street, 'Now Israel may say,' and so forth. They sang in four parts with deep solemnity, all joining in the well-known tune and psalm. They were much moved themselves, and so were all who heard. And one of the chief persecutors is said to have been more alarmed at this sight and song than at anything he had ever seen in Scotland." Well, that's just an interesting side story about a glorious occasion when this psalm was sung by the people of God to great effect and to great glory towards God. So let's take a look at this psalm piece by piece here, starting now at verses 1 and 2, this expression of gratitude. We're at the Psalm of Ascent, the fifth in the series. Here we go with Psalm 124, verses 1 and 2. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side," let Israel now say, "if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." Now, I'm stopping here, pausing here at the end of verse 2, because the thought carries right on through to verse 3. But I can't resist pausing at the end of verse 2 and just noting the remarkable phrasing that we see here in both verses 1 and 2. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." Twice in the first two verses of this psalm, David called Israel to recognize that their help was in God alone. Now, it wasn't just that Yahweh was present, that was true, but not enough. It was that God actively worked on behalf of his people. The Lord was on their side. Now, I find it interesting, Willem van Gemeren, in his commentary on Proverbs, says that the phrase "had been on our side" in Hebrew, verses 1 and 2, is the past tense of the word Emmanuel, God with us. So thus, the community confesses that God has been with them in their past history. Lord, you will one day come among us as the Messiah, and we'll call his name Emmanuel. But you have been God with us all the way along. F.B. Meyer made this observation, again on this phrase, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and Meyer's emphasizing the word if. He says, here is an if which cannot be an if. It is never a matter of uncertainty whether the Lord will be with our side or not. He goes on to say, for the Lord Jesus in his incarnation and death has taken his place beside us forevermore. He is always on our side, so long as we keep his paths and walk in his ways. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the Lord is always, we say, and the psalmist says here, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, but the Lord was always on their side. And so therefore, verse 1, let Israel now say, David thought it was necessary that all God's covenant people recognize this. It was not enough that it would be David or a few others to recognize this. It was the duty of all Israel to know this, that the Lord had been on their side, and to say that God was their absolute essential help, especially, look at the end of verse 2, when men rose up against us. Now again, we know from the title of this psalm, a song of ascents, a psalm of David. We see it right there in the title. We know that there were many times in David's reign and before his reign when this was true, when men rose up against David and the people of Israel. But perhaps the most likely time referred to here was when the Philistines threatened to overwhelm Israel at the start of David's reign. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. And when these men opposed the people of God, God stepped up to help. When men rose against us, the Lord was on our side. And isn't it beautiful? David's song of victory here became a pilgrim song enjoyed by those on their journey to Jerusalem for the feasts of Israel. Now, starting at verse 3, I'm going to read all the way through verse 5. He's going to speak of the disaster that could have happened if God had not helped them. Here we go, verses 3, 4, and 5. Then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. So, continuing the thought from the emphatic repetition in the first two verses, again, if God had not helped Israel, David then told of what did happen. That if God would not have helped them, they would have been destroyed by their enemies, but they were not. But check this out. We see that the God of Israel, Yahweh, he was not one of many possible solutions for Israel in their problem. No, he and he alone was their savior. You know, it is often true we get ourselves into trouble, or we find ourselves in trouble, and we need God to rescue us. For Israel, in these circumstances that David sang about here, without God, look at that phrasing there in verse 3, they would have swallowed us alive. Lord, if you didn't rescue us, we would have been gone. And then he says again in verse 3, when their wrath was kindled against us. And isn't it that sense? Sometimes wrath, sometimes anger against us is like a burning fire. Charles Spurgeon said something very telling on this. He said this, quote, "Anger is never more fiery than when the people of God are its objects. Sparks become flames, and the furnace is heated seven times hotter when God's chosen are to be thrust into the blaze." And it's true. The anger of the ungodly, their wrath was burning hot against the people of God. They were threatened to be overwhelmed by waters. Verse 4 says, "Then the waters would have overwhelmed us." David poetically described their potential ruin here. Their danger was like being swallowed alive by a giant beast, or it was like being drowned even when the waters overwhelmed them. Even as verse 4 says, the swollen waters. The idea here is more of a rushing river than it is of a rising flood. You see, in this poetic picture, they were in danger of being swept away by a torrent that was passing through. Indeed, verse 5 says, "Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul." See, David again used this repetition to emphasize the idea that the danger was not only political or economic, but it had to do with the very soul. It had to do with their life at the deepest levels. From these great dangers, God was their deliverer. Now, I think it's marvelous here how David poetically described many of the troubles that face our soul here. In verse 3, he indicates, sometimes our troubles swallow and devour us. Then in verse 4, he indicates, sometimes our troubles overwhelm us like a flood. That's the image in verse 4. In verse 5, he indicates, sometimes our troubles sweep us away like a rushing river, a mighty torrent. Listen, whether your troubles threaten to swallow you, overwhelm you, or sweep you away, God is for you in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You don't need to despair. You don't need to fret. No, you can say, God is with his people, and I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Aligned with him, I will find victory. Now, in verse 6, it begins what I would consider to be the second half of this psalm, where he begins to genuinely praise God for deliverance. Let's look now at verses 6 and 7, where we read this. "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped." Now again, verse 6, he's praising God. Blessed be the Lord. And maybe this is a good place to remind ourselves that as in other places in the book of Psalms, the thought here is not bestowing a blessing upon Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel. It's not saying, oh Lord, you need my blessing, and so I'm going to bestow a blessing on you. That's not the idea whenever it says, bless the Lord or blessed be the Lord. No, the idea is this. It's on thanking, praising, and announcing, declaring God as being ever more blessed. This is a powerful expression of thanks and praise. Blessed be the Lord, he says. Now, I like what F.B. Meyer said relevant to this. He said this, quote, "When we look back on life, as the psalmist does here, we become aware of the countless instances of divine protection. We were not so vividly conscious at the time. We might even have had fits of depression and counted ourselves bereft. But if we narrowly consider the perils from which we have been rescued, when we were about to be swallowed up quick, we become convinced that he was there." Well, indeed, he was there in all of our troubles from which we are delivered. So no wonder he says there in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord," second line now, verse 6, "who has not given us as a prey to their teeth." David, again, is describing the danger that Israel faced. Notice he's speaking in the plural, who's not given us as prey to their teeth. David, of course, is included in this, but it's not only him, it's the nation. David described their danger poetically, first as being delivered from a beast with grinding teeth, has not given us as prey to their teeth, then as deliverance from a trap. He describes it there in verse 7 as a snare that is set for birds. With God's help, the people of God were safe from destruction, and they were safe from capture, from a loss of liberty. You know, it's a beautiful thing that David does here in verse 7, where he compares our soul, our life, to that as a bird. He says, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare. And that's a nice comparison. Alexander McLaren pointed this out. He said, the comparison of the soul to a bird is beautiful. It's repeated in Psalm 11, verse 1. He said, it hints at tremors and feebleness, at alternations of feeling, like the flutter of some weak-winged songster, at the utter helplessness of the panting creature in the toils. In other words, it speaks of our frailty and our dependence upon God. Well, listen, just as a snare or a trap would seek to capture a bird, so there are temptations and spiritual attacks us which would seek to trap us and take away our liberty. There are many traps out there. There are people who are slaves to their addiction and they're like a bird caught in a trap. There are people who are slaves to their lusts and licentiousness. They are snared in a trap. There are people who are snared in materialism and bitterness and anger. And I could go on and on, but you get the point. No matter what may have snared you in life, God has the power to deliver you. No matter what sin has trapped you, whether the world thinks highly of that sin or whether the world hates that sin, it doesn't matter. It traps you. It brings bondage into your life. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver you. I like what Bishop Horn said about this, that old Anglican commentator. He said, save us, O God, from the rage and the subtlety of our spiritual adversary. Save us from his teeth when he would devour. Save us from his snares when he would deceive. And in this, we see two more poetic pictures of things that might trouble our soul. We saw them before in verses 3, 4, and 5. Now in verses 5 and 6, we see that sometimes our troubles could grind us to powder. And sometimes our troubles, verse 7, can capture us like a trap or a snare. Now, the psalm ends beautifully at verse 8 with this great confidence in the continuing help of God. Look at this now at verse 8. We read, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, that statement, I love it there in verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I sense a bit of defiance in that declaration, don't you? The nations, the pagans, like such as the Philistines, it seems likely, though not certain, that it was a Philistine attack that God had delivered them from and David was praising God for. The nations, such as the Philistines, found their supposed help in their supposed deities, but God's people confidently find their help in the name of the Lord. This is what they declare. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. To quote one more time, Bishop Horn, he says this, the great lesson of this psalm from the beginning to the end is that for every deliverance, whether of a temporal or spiritual nature, we should, in imitation of the saints above, give and honor salvation to our God and to the Lamb. Amen. We should praise him for the salvation. And when you take a look at this psalm in a whole, it's a brief psalm, only 8 verses, but Psalm 124 as a whole shows us the help that is brought to the believer in the name of the Lord. I mean, we see it right here in this psalm. Verse 3, He delivers us from the troubles that would swallow and devour us. Verse 4, he delivers us from the troubles that would overwhelm us like a flood. Verse 5, he delivers us from the troubles that would sweep us away like a torrent or a mighty river. Verse 6, he delivers us from the troubles that would grind us to powder. Verse 7, he delivers us from the troubles that would capture us like a trap or a snare. And who is it who does this? Let me read to you verse 8 again in its entirety. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, this confidence in God was in no way a vain or empty confidence. The same God who created heaven and earth was mighty to help his people. Don't you think it's a pretty significant thing for God to create heaven and earth? For him to create the universe around you? I mean, if you were to just look inside and see the glory of this created world, our God created that. And the same God with power and authority over all creation, he is there to help. It is important to acknowledge and to praise God as creator. Our creator is also our comforter. The one who created everything we can see can also protect us from the evils that we can't see. What a relief, what a blessing to understand that our help is found in God, the creator of heaven and earth. That's our peace. That's our confidence. Now, before we leave Psalm 124, let's consider briefly, how does this psalm, Psalm 124, how might it point to Jesus, this fifth in the series of the 15 songs of ascent? Well, let me suggest to you one way in these 8 verses. I'm sure we could find more, but I'll suggest one way. Jesus escaped the snare of death. Now, verse 7 of Psalm 124 celebrates deliverance. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. You see, the ultimate snare or trap was and is death. And Jesus escaped death's mighty power. At the cross and at the empty tomb, Jesus defeated death. And so for the believer, that snare is broken and we have escaped. Because we are found in Jesus Christ, his victory becomes our victory. And I'm sure Satan thought that he had ensnared Jesus. He had trapped him. He had cornered him in at the cross. Oh, but our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. That was true of Jesus. In an incomparable measure, now that snare of death is broken, and his escape becomes our escape, and we praise God for it. Let's thank the Lord for this, all this wonderful truth and powerful truth that we see in Psalm 124. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we see such a powerful help that you give to your people. So we want to echo with the psalmist what he repeated in the first 2 verses. If the Lord had not been on our side. But Lord, it's wonderful that that is an impossible if, because you promise that when it comes to your people, when it comes to those who are born again by God's Spirit, you are ever for them. Thank you, Lord. We know that we don't deserve this, that this is the gift of your grace. But we also know and are confident that by your grace, you are for us in Jesus Christ. We're grateful that his victory has become ours, and we find our rest, our peace in him. Therefore, Lord, we praise you for it all as we make our way on this pilgrimage, on this journey, so powerfully spoken of in these songs of ascent. We thank you for it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.